Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 has this to say, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So treasure is an indication of where our hearts are, what our hearts are worshiping, or whom our hearts are worshiping. And so we need to get that right. If we follow the ways of this world, we're going to give our hearts to the ways of this world. We're going to devote ourselves to the pursuit of money and to the pursuit of all that money can buy us. That's why Jesus said you can't worship God or serve God and money at the same time. It's just an impossibility. So in Jesus Christ, through new birth, through circumcision, done by God's Spirit, we can have hearts that can genuinely worship God. Now, there was this great discussion that Jesus had with a woman in Samaria at a well, and they talked about water and talked about the fact that she had five husbands, and the one man she was living with now wasn't her husband, and all of this. And finally, the conversation led to worship. And she brought up her understanding of worship, that it has to take place at a certain location. So the Samaritans had a location, and the Jews had a location. And they argued about that. And the Jews, you know, looked down at the Samaritans for their wrongness on that issue, so to speak. But Jesus kind of cut through all of that, and he said some amazing things about worship. How did he define worship in that particular passage?
Well, he said, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks." That's pretty important.
Pretty important indeed. It's not the place. I mean, we often go through religious ritual. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to church on Easter, we go to church, you know, on Christmas Eve or Christmas, and we're doing our ritual. Why? Because that's important. We think that's important, and we can check it off. Somebody would go to the temple in Jerusalem, and they'd say, "Hey, I've done my duty. I've fulfilled my obligation of worship. I've made the appropriate sacrifices. I've done the appropriate thing, so I'm okay." But that's not the nature of worship. Worship is devotion. Worship is dependence upon. It's a reliance upon. Worship is a humility, a bowing the knee to someone. And the only way that we're going to do that is when we find out the truth about God. And that's revealed to us in Jesus. So if we're going to be true worshipers, we have to first know about God in Jesus. We have to know that he's love and see that demonstration of love through his shed blood on the cross and see his power in the resurrection. That's going to direct our hearts toward him. And that's what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not worshiping according to the flesh. It's not worshiping according to our heritage or background or ethnicity or any of those things. It's worshiping according to spirit, something that's from above, not from here, and truth, the truth about God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. When we walk in dependence upon him, then we can have a proper understanding of how to use the resources that he's provided. Yes. So if we're going to worship, it's not at a place. It's any day of the week, any place that we are, we worship in spirit and in truth. Well, let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about worship, if you have a question about money, if you have a question about giving, now's your opportunity to ask it on the Basic Gospel broadcast. We would certainly love to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377. Before we get to our phone calls, a reminder of the offer that we have this month. It's a wonderful new resource called Grace and Money. It is a two-CD series that comes with a booklet on New Covenant giving. So we look at it and take it all the way to the conclusion. What is giving? We have this resource called Money. What should our attitudes be toward money? How should we use it in our day-to-day lives? And how should we give it to advance the kingdom of God? So it's a complete look at grace and money from start to finish. And we want to put it in your hands, and we will do so for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. It's our way of saying thanks for standing with us, for partnering with us to help communicate the greatest news known to man, that Jesus Christ is alive. So give a gift today. We certainly need to hear from you. We need to hear from many of our listeners. We had a wonderful year end. Just very grateful how God provided during the last month of the year, the last week of the year. But contributions have fallen short of projections in the first two months, and we need to hear from you to keep this good message going out over the airwaves. So will you make a gift today? If so, you can do so by going to our website at basicgospel.net. There's an icon right in the middle of the page. Click that. Get information on how to give and all the information on this new product, Grace and Money. Or you can call our toll-free order line, talk with Billy, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Well, we do have some open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
Hey, I was looking, thank you for taking my call, and thanks, Richard, for redirecting me. I was looking today at all the uses of worship, you know, in the New Testament, and I came upon two scriptures, one in the Gospel according to Matthew, one in the Gospel according to Mark, and Jesus is quoting Isaiah 29:13. It says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines precepts of men. And some say traditions of men. And I made this connection in regards to teaching tithing as a new covenant thing. It's really, tithing is really doing exactly what Jesus is saying here, teaching by precepts of men. When men, pastors, teachers take this tithing from the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and bring it into the New Covenant, they're doing exactly what Jesus is saying, you know, that they're doing, and this is error, and it's really worship. As I looked in those 70 different verses, just how we relate to the Word of God, to Jesus, to truth, is worship. And I love Romans 12:1, yes, but relating to the truth correctly and believing correctly is worshiping Jesus Christ. So when they teach doctrines based on error, based on precepts of men and men of
what I call that, Brad, is kind of an old covenant mindset. And that mindset basically says that we do in order to be blessed. In other words, we haven't already been blessed in Jesus Christ, so therefore we need to do something. So it's a work-based mentality, performance-based mentality. And so we can tag giving into that. We can insert the way we give into that. I give, so that obligates God to react and respond and give back. That's not the way it works. we give in light of who he is, in light of what he does in our hearts through his Spirit. That's a new covenant mindset. Sure. We recognize that he initiates, we respond. And if we will get that correct, if we will get that truth correct, the fact that God initiates to us in Jesus, we respond in faith. Lots and lots of things that were once confusing will seem to find their proper place, and giving will be one of those.
I agree.
Let me give a positive example. We usually give negative examples in this. I'm familiar with a church that has taught tithing forever. And over the last couple of years, their pastor has begun to understand more and more and more about grace. And just one minor little change in their service speaks volumes to what kind of change is possible. They used to pass the plate religiously. And over the last couple of months, they've stopped doing that. They just have boxes in the back, and people give a free will offering on their way out. And the message is changing them. And it takes a while to get rid of the traditions. But grace is powerful enough to overcome any of the error any of us ever had.
Yes, that's in all areas of our life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call, Richard and Bob.
You're welcome, Brad. Good to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call, 1-800-677-9377. Go ahead and call right now if you have a question about worship. What in the world does worship mean? If you have a question about money, if you're having money issues, money difficulties, it's a great opportunity to call and talk about those and to get some biblical help to point you in the right direction. So we would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina. Let's talk to Mike listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hi, Rob. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Just want to say, well, God bless you for your daily effort to keep us all focused. My situation is kind of strange. I had a few years ago, we took our challenge at church where they said to take the 90-day challenge of giving and tithing, and it's worked remarkably in my life. I've seen, you know, praise God, seen so many wonderful things happen financially. And I was reading Francis Chan's book not long ago about, you know, as Christians, you know, it's okay and that we should give more because it all comes back to us. Well, I had a situation recently where I was going to tithe a pretty good amount to our church, and my son and his wife were in the process of purchasing a car and selling their home. They had just gotten a new job, and they were kind of strapped. And instead of giving it to church, I gave it to our son, and yet it's been gnawing at me, thinking, you know, that was a pretty good amount of money that you know, you should have given, and then found the other resources to give to my son. So what's your perspective on that?
Well, Mike, you made a decision. Mm-hmm. And you saw a need as far as your son was concerned, and obviously you felt a tug in your heart to meet that need. And I think that's A-okay. I mean, what if your neighbor, you know, living across the street, you've known them forever, and that particular person falls on some hard times, and they're about to be thrown out, and you know, maybe electricity is going to be cut off. And you respond to that and give money to it, is that not giving the new covenant way? You're meeting a need.
I guess the thing that was challenging me was that, you know, I was trying, trying to cope and deal with the fact that, this is my son and him and his wife were in need. Yet if the other part, I said, okay, well, you know, you've always been faithful with your tithing. What happens? And then I didn't want to use it as a substitute, but I tried to keep it in the mindset of, you know, that the Lord would want me to give and help. That's, I guess, what I was trying to justify it, but I don't know, it was the strangest thing tugging at my heart. You're right.
Well, sometimes, Mike, I think that's one of those things, and I've experienced that too, where, I gave some money somewhere else, and I felt guilty because I didn't give it where, you know, I'd been giving it before. And
right,
you get those twinges, and you almost, you know, sometimes you can't sleep at night because you feel guilty. And that you're being robbed of that joy of helping meet a real need. So I think some of that just comes from kind of our old way of thinking, you know, that I have to give to the church and I have to give this amount, and anything else I do has to be over and above that amount. And if it doesn't happen, we feel guilty. And we've got to come to the place in our lives and realize that God can move us to give in various ways and to various things.
And I need to hear that.
if we respond, Mike, to the impulse of God's Spirit, I think everything will be okay.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much. God bless you both.
You're welcome, Mike. Thanks for your call. And let me put you on hold. We'll send you this resource, Grace and Money. And it has a little booklet in there. I think it'll be a blessing to you. You hang on, okay?
Thank you, sir. God bless.
You too.
I love Mike's call. I resemble his remarks. You know, that there was a day when I knew I was having trouble with legalism when this kind of a giving opportunity came up, or the use of my time, that kind of a situation, or whatever. And I felt guilty for having helped someone. That's a telltale sign.
That is
a telltale
sign. And we do fall into patterns.
Yes.
You know, I was raised in a church, and, you know, I was confirmed in that church in my third grade year. And, you know, after I was confirmed, I was issued tithing envelopes, you know, every week. You know, I had a box of 52 envelopes with my name on it.
Yeah.
And I'd put whatever in the envelope, and so they were training me.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was part of the finance committee, and he was involved in all of the different campaigns. And I thought, wow, if you know, this is just what I'm supposed to do. It's just a must to be a good Christian. And so, instead of allowing God's Spirit to work in my life, it became a law in my life.
Yes.
This is what I have to do. I'm obligated to do it. And so that brought all kinds of guilt, because there's always the what if you don't do it, or when you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You start feeling guilty over that sort of thing. And God wants you to have joy in giving.
Yes.
So the first thing we have to do often is to change our mindset. Now, that doesn't necessarily change the amount we give or to who we give. But if we can give with a grace attitude, we're actually going to experience joy in the giving.
Yes.
If we're giving under a law attitude, it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's going to be no fun in that whatsoever. Let's go to Rohnert Park, California, listening to us on KDIA. Fabiola?
Yes, this is she.
You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. God bless you. I hope you can hear me well.
We certainly can.
My question is, for those new believers, what exactly is tithing and also giving your, from what I understand, 10% of your earnings to the church? And is that an obligation? Is that something that Scripture tells us to do? And if you're going through a difficult financial time with, layoff and or layoff after layoff, is it still something, is offering still something that you must do, or do you just do it out of heart and what God puts in your heart to do?
Well, those are great, great questions.
Yes.
And let's start with the tithing issue. We first see tithing way back in the book of Genesis. You know, one of the first accounts of it was the story of Abraham. He went out and defeated some kings in battle. And as he was coming back and he was bringing all the spoils with him, he was met by Melchizedek. Melchizedek came out and met him and blessed him with bread and wine. And in response to that, Abraham recognized that this person was greater than he was. And so Abraham gave 10% of his spoils to this prince of Salem. Is how he was described. And so that we see a tenth, and the word tithe, that's what it means, a tenth. Move forward a little bit. I think Jacob talked about that. Move forward a little bit more. Moses, you know, delivers the people. He raises his staff and the Red Sea parts, and all of Israel escapes from Egypt, and they go into the desert, and God establishes a covenant with them. And within that covenant, there was a priesthood established, and that priesthood was made up of the Levites. Levi was one of the 12 sons, and everyone in that bloodline became a priest to the Most High God, and that was established in that old covenant. Well, those priests were prohibited from owning property, from having cattle or any of those sort of things. They were to be devoted totally to the religious life of the nation, of that group of people. And so to support that group of people, God obligated the other tribes to bring a tenth of all of their goods to storehouses. And that was the law of tithing. It was much like a taxation on the people of Israel, but it was for the religious life of the people. And so they would bring sheep and goats and bulls, and they would bring grains and all sorts of things. And the priest would use those as sacrifices in the worship that God had prescribed for them. And then those all of that became food for the Levites. That's how they were taken care of. But now in this new covenant, we have a new priest, and everything has changed. And so we're no longer obligated, as the people of Israel were. We are called to excel in the grace of giving, to allow God's Spirit to move in our hearts, so that we can give willfully, we can give joyfully, we can give cheerfully, we can give generously, and we can give expectantly, knowing God will use those resources to advance his kingdom. So we're no longer, of course, as Gentiles, we were no longer weren't under that law to begin with. But for the people of Israel who have come to Christ, they're in this new covenant just as we are. And we get to freely give of those things that God has given us. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It really does. And I appreciate you answering that.
Well, you are more than welcome. We're out of time, but what I want to do for you is to put you on hold. We're going to send you this resource, Grace and Money, and it will give you kind of the full picture of money from God's perspective and push it all the way out to how we as believers can give our money in such a way that really is motivated by the grace of God. You hang on. We'll get that into your hands, okay? Thanks for your call.
Thank you so much. God bless
you. You are so welcome. You hang on. Well, Richard, these programs go quickly.
They do.
And it's such a joy to talk about the grace of God and to talk about how the grace of God really impacts every single area of our lives. It's not just for salvation. So many of us just think about grace in terms of being saved. We're saved by grace through faith. But grace actually impacts every area of our lives, including how we handle money. So it is always a joy to talk about that, especially with folks like Jonah and Greg and Brad and Mike and Fabiola today. And we look forward to doing it all over again tomorrow, as we come back for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, let me remind you of this special offer of our new resource, Grace and Money. It's two messages recorded on to CD and a booklet on giving the new covenant way. We are very anxious to put it into your hands. We think it can be a valuable tool in your growth and your walk with the Lord. And after you listen to it, pass it on, but it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, for Richard and the team, we'll see you again tomorrow.